Using artificial intelligence, I've built an app that allows you to train your mind in a variety of different ways to make you a more powerful person in this new age that we are entering into. The three aspects of this app is a language learning tutor, a tutor for training you how to write better and use your imagination to get better visual thinking, and a visualization app that will allow you to learn sports, athletics, and musical skills faster, all compartmentalized and packaged into one, and utilized in such a way that you can use it for 10 to 20 minutes a day and get the long-term benefits of making your brain juicier. Now, I designed this specifically for myself because I wanted something convenient and useful that could fit easily in my routine to make sure that I'm actually consistent with my training, because of course I would like to improve the quality of my brain, get my two hemispheres communicating, developing my writing skills, developing my language skills. But when do you ever find the time? I'm too busy making TikToks or whatever it is for me to sit down and work on languages or work on writing skills or work on visualization skills. Now, of course, what I do every single morning, because I'm a Huberman cell, is I go for a walk. I go out there and get the sunlight in my eyes. And I've always thought, wow, it'd be great if I could have some type of app of some sort that I could work here with. I could do some training, because what I tend to do is listen to podcasts or do nothing at all and just look at the surroundings. That's advisable, by the way. There's nothing wrong with checking out nature, plugging out of the internet and returning to the world. But in the instances where, you know, maybe for 20 minutes during my walk, I want to do a little bit of work, I've always thought to myself, it'd be useful if I had something here. Now, there are apps out there like Duolingo and various other writing apps that you can work on various skills, but they're all very text heavy. You have to stand there and you have to walk around doing this. Now, I don't want to be some dork with my head in my phone the whole way through my experience of having a walk or something like this. So I thought to myself, wow, it would be fantastic if I had something that could be voice-based, that was intelligent and could react to what I was doing and I could converse with. Say, for example, a language tutor that I could speak to. I didn't have to stare and walk around my phone, but I could actually talk to the thing as if I'm having a conversation. Or something that I could work on my writing skills and I could communicate with it where I speak to it. Or something where I could work on my visualization skills with the same principle of me being able to speak to it. And so, of course, this became the genesis of this app that I've built, the Flash app, the app where I have instructed, developed, and trained AI tools that will be able to communicate with you like a trainer, like a teacher. So now I have a tool that I can go out every single morning and do a little bit of training for 10 to 20, even 30 minutes if I'm feeling up for it, and slowly build up the capacity for my mind to get good at these various tasks. So what are these three skills and why are they valuable? First comes language learning. Language learning in the modern globalized world is critical because as we digital nomads begin to move around the world and visit and travel other countries, we're also living through an age of massive population transfer, downward going of much of the wealth of the world, massive inflation, the collapse of various economies across the world, the exploitation of people, growing inequality. This is causing enormous social tension because the people at the helm of the ship are idiots, to be frank. And because of this, it's critical if you go to another country that you don't come across as a gringo dork, if you will. And this is not even, say, for somewhere like South America where, you know, they'll say we're going to rob this guy. But even going to Europe, I've had this experience in Portugal and stuff like this, where you go to a European country like Portugal and the Portuguese, the natives feel exploited. They feel like their elites are essentially welcoming in rich North Americans, North Englanders, North Europeans. And their wages are getting driven down, or their wages are not rising, but all these, you know, foreigners are coming in and buying in all their houses. And it's causing an awful lot of tension. And so if you want an advantage in a country like that, and if you want to get on well with people, and if you want to actually blend in, it's almost like an obligation that you at least try to learn the language. You at least go in and actually try to communicate with them on their terms and not come across as a pretty, you know, horribly annoying person where you walk in and be like, hey, how are you doing? I'm going to speak English to you, and I'm not even going to try. Whereas with a tool like this, and you know, I felt that inside of myself traveling around to a lot of places, it's not nice. I want to go into these countries and be polite and show that I actually want to learn some of their language. Now, on top of this, of course, language benefits you an awful lot. You're going to be a much better communicator and get much more friendly reactions. That's a good thing. You're not going to annoy them, so they're going to be nicer to you. In fact, you making this effort leads to them being three times as nice to you as you could imagine, because you actually try to speak some Portuguese. Oftentimes they love you, or you try to speak some Spanish or whatever it is, or you're going to Italy, the same thing. it's really is adored. They really do enjoy that you try that stuff. So that's good. It's good to show that you actually want to care. Now, on top of this, it makes your brain better and bigger. The more languages you learn, the more powerful your brain becomes, because language is actually mapped into our brains in significantly different ways. This is a famous study that came out recently of Germans and Arabic speakers, and the Arabs use a different hemispheric coordination and different neural networks to create the Arab language in their brains. The Germans use a different one. It's actually more split apart, which is quite fascinating. So if you go to learn German, you're using your brain in a different way than if you learn Arabic. And then if you go and develop this, it's obviously going to have some type of enhancing capacity to your mind. It's causing novel hemispheric communication and the development of your brain. And a lot of people describe this, that through learning language, they develop a greater, richer way of thinking. And obviously, as we go forward into our lives, we always want to be developing new skills because it's going to keep our brains sharp. So on top of this as well, this becomes a fantastic thing. Now, lastly, it contributes heavily to the correct identity for the modern world, which is actually an old identity, the identity of the Renaissance man, the person who could speak five languages in old Europe. And they would go around to many different countries and they'd be learned and educated and actually someone of sophisticated standing and culture. Because what we're seeing right now is a degradation where everybody is becoming sloppy, lazy, nouveau rich, and all these types of things. And it's an ugly identity that you see going around. These dickhead crypto rich people. I like crypto as well, but you know the type. They go to these foreign countries, there may be a passport bro or some weird dork like this, and it's not a good identity. They're not cultured. They don't know anything about history. They don't know anything about the places they're going. It's not a cool identity. It's not a nice identity to be. Now, we have the opportunity to be something much more sophisticated, dressed well, educated, intelligent, wealthy, doing well for ourselves, successful, going and meeting these people, polite, multilingual, been able to speak to many different people in their own languages, understanding parts about the culture. That's a powerful identity in the modern globalized world. That's something that you're going to see carrying a lot of weight. That's something that is sophisticated and essentially a rebellion against the downgoing of our times. So a lot of things stack up here. Now, the next skill that you can develop with this app, this Flash app that I've built, is your capacity to storytell and write. Because, of course, again, as we live in this globalized world, one of the core features of this globalized world is the internet. The internet is like a giant nervous system that connects all of mankind together as one. And the internet consists of information. Now, what is going to be the most successful person on the internet? The people who can organize and arrange information. Some of those will be coders, and some of those will be organizers like entrepreneurs, and others of those will be storytellers. And they're all doing various arrangements of the information in the internet sphere. So your capacity to go up on there and use YouTube, use Twitter, use TikTok, whatever it is, and put out stories, put out information, think and articulate your ideas, and captures people's attention and persuade them, is going to give you an unfair advantage in this new world. No, this is not a secret. People have been saying this ever since the genesis of the internet. You can take the old skills that people used to use to write books, and you can apply it now to an email list or a Twitter account or a YouTube channel, and you can change your life with it. I've changed my life with my presence on the internet, using my logos and projecting it out into the world. Everybody can do this if they understand the medium. They understand how to tell stories with what they're doing. Now, of course, this medium of the internet, the skill of storytelling, is something that you can actually train. And I've known this because I went and tried to get formally trained when I was younger. I found poets, I found public speakers, writers, and I was like, teach me how to speak, teach me these skills and these tools. And they taught me many different things. Now, one thing I consistently came across is the principle of learning how to show, not tell. Now, that might sound a little bit abstract for the time being, but this is basically the difference between a good storyteller and a bad storyteller. Because when you think about what is an interesting and engaging story, it's always something that sparks your imagination. To give you a very quick example, think about you going into a lecture hall, and there's a guy talking about the economy, and he has all this complicated jargon, and he's explaining and telling you how the economy works, and you and all your friends are asleep. and you actually don't even pay for this. I guess you pay for college technically, but you know, you don't pay for the experience per se. It's something you sort of do, and you're not engaged. Now, him talking about the economy is obviously very important because it's something that's going to transform your life. It's very, very valuable to understand this stuff. It's a big deal. It has one of, it's probably the most significant thing that's going to influence your life, of one of many at the very least. But you don't care because he's not a good storyteller. He's boring. He's slamming facts at you and information, and it just doesn't engage you. It's drab. There's a lot of concepts that you don't understand. And so it just switches your mind off and you start dribbling and put your head on the table. Now, what's interesting is after this lecture, you and your buddies will all say, hey, let's go down to the local cinema. And you'll pay $20 and then you pay another $20 for crappy popcorn. And you'll sit in there in the same setting where there's a big screen and there's all you and your buddies in the pews looking at the big screen, just like there was in the college. But this time the information on the screen is much more compelling. Why? What's the difference here? Why is the dude, the director who's created this film that is on the screen, why is that guy a multimillionaire, whereas this professor is scrounging by with 35K a year telling you critical information? This director might be making The Big Short, which is about the economy, or Wolf of Wall Street, which is about money and sales and all this. But you'll only listen to this one. Why? Because the style of information presentation is different. You go in there, you sit down, and the cinema is not going to explain anything to you. Instead, it's going to flash an image on the screen. You're going to sit there and you're going to watch, and then all of a sudden some bloke is going to show up and he's going to be putting on his tie, and your brain is going to be like, what is he doing? And all of a sudden you're interested, you're engaged. You're getting shown and your curiosity is trying to figure out. Now, isn't that fascinating? But the lecturer was telling you, and so because your curiosity wasn't getting turned on, you didn't really care. Now, that's the difference between good storytelling and bad storytelling. This is why the director in the cinema makes millions of dollars and the other guy does not. And this is something that's very, very easy to train. Very easy to train. And I got a couple of exercises that taught me how to do this. And this is one of the key parts in this app. And again, you can do it every single day in an effortless way when you're walking around in the morning during your morning walk, or maybe if you have some type of other routine. You can get this part of yourself clicked into gear to make you a better storyteller. To think about this, this would be like going and learning to squat. You could squat for 20 minutes every day. That might be a lot, by the way, but you get the principle. You could do this exercise that's not really relevant to any of your athletic behaviors. But then if you go and play football, or you go and play, become a boxer or something like this, the strength that you build from this isolated exercise contributes towards your capacity to fight and perform as an athlete. And it's the same principle here. This storytelling exercise will enhance your storytelling overall in your life. And this leads us to the third mode in this app, which is rapid learning, or visualization, the utilization of your imagination to learn things faster. Now, this is something that you've probably heard from, like, the law of attraction, which is like, oh, you can visualize your reality and get a Ferrari. Now, that is maybe true, maybe possible. I'm not going to go and say no, but that's actually a pretty poor understanding of what visualization actually does. You have people like Conor McGregor, who was big into this idea of visualizing the supercar that he wanted. And he was also very good then at visualizing the punches that he wanted to land. Now, what's very fascinating is that you imagining the punches you want to land, like Conor would have done, where he's trying to visualize his success, he kind of stumbled upon something that's actually been backed up by science. Because you imagining with your mind, your imagination, trains your nervous system to do the activity correctly, to the point where people who visualize behaviors actually learn them more efficiently than people who actually practice them. Now, don't get me wrong, if you practice and visualize, you're going to learn it best. But if you visualize by yourself, and this is what the studies show, you will learn it better than if you just practice by itself. Now, that's a big deal. Because say, for example, you want to learn something like boxing. Of course, if we want to be Renaissance men, we want to be strong, we want to be juicy, we want to be doing well in the world. So say you want to go and learn to box. Well, you don't want to go to learn to box and get this thing damaged because you're probably working on the internet or something like that. You don't want to get brain damage, do you? So what you could do is you could actually learn via visualization and develop the skills you need to develop much more efficiently using this quite well-studied phenomenon, which is the capacity for mental practice, and get better at boxing without getting brain damage. And then you could go and you could go to boxing in the evening twice or three times a week and actually get dramatically better, because you're actually learning using your imagination to train yourself. Compare this now to other people who would go and maybe want to prove they're a tough guy, or they go and box unconsciously. and they go in and they get knocks and they start to get headaches and they don't really learn anything. They remain shit at boxing, let's put it this way. That's because they're not actually using their head to learn. They're just going through the motions. That leads to more damage, that leads to inefficient learning, and that leads to a worse experience. It's not as fun getting hit in the head all the time and being crap at something. And also it's not impressive when you actually come to perform and show off how much of a well-rounded person you are with all these skills. It's like, this guy's actually just a dork. He just can't do anything. So this is the problem here. Now, what this app is designed to do is to help you do this, to help you visualize, because visualization is based on some very interesting principles. In fact, the same principles that make you a good writer are the same principles that make you a good visualizer. I was very surprised to find this out myself. And so I was delighted to be able to integrate these things. And so it can allow me, when I'm going on my walk, maybe if I'm doing a boxing move and I'm trying to think about a counter right hook or something like this, I'm thinking to myself, all right, well, what's the sequence of events? And I try to imagine it properly. And the app, the tutor will basically coach me on how to do that correctly to make sure I get everything right, which will allow me to learn things faster. Now, I can do this with boxing. I could do this with weightlifting, you know, imagining the mind-muscle connection. It's not gonna hurt to be able to do that. It's gonna make you better at all your weightlifting motions. And you can do it with musical instruments. The same thing. Anything that involves physical movement, you're going to be able to learn. Now, you could, for example, take visualization even to more abstract things like doing a sales call, doing a presentation and all this. But this focus is mainly for physical things, because I think it's important, first of all, we do physical things in our lives. And second of all, to train these, to work on these, because it brings us back into our bodies and out of our minds. So you have the writing for more abstract things. You have language learning. It's quite abstract. But here we've got something that's nice and physical. And so these three modes are going to make you a very juicy man if you get them all plugged in. So why would this app be any help? Why couldn't you just do this stuff yourself? Well, I actually came up against this exact problem. I learned all this stuff years ago and I have done it myself, but I've been very inconsistent with it because other things get in the way. You're busy and it's kind of hard to find time to be consistent with visualizing your punches or your weightlifting or speaking languages or working on your writing skills. And I've ended up tinkering with a lot of these, and I've gotten okay with a few of them, but I've never really pushed forward and actually trained myself consistently to fully become fluent in a language, because I've, you know, been a YouTuber instead. And this stuff is frustrating, because it's like, all right, well, why am I just tinkering around? Why don't I try to discipline myself and get myself locked in? Now, this is, of course, why this app has been so brilliant for me, because I use it every day, and I've been using it now for a couple of weeks as we've been testing it. I've been, you know, for myself, been like, this is what we're going to do with this thing. And it's made me be consistent every single day for those 10, 15, 20 minutes. And this has led to me actually getting better quickly, and I'm noticing it because of that consistency. And this is the nature of how technology works. Like all these things, the phone, social media, the way all these tools have been designed is to wire into your brain and take advantage of your dopamine patterns and stuff. So why don't we use that to our advantage? You know, if you're going to wake up in the morning and look at a podcast or scroll through some social media thing, is there not a way that you could transform this tool into something that you can use in a much more productive way? Instead of you becoming a consumer, become a brain trainer instead. And this is what this has allowed me to do. It's got a notification system which sets a reminder, which will ping up do it at 9 a.m. every morning if you want, or whatever time you wish. Maybe you want to do it before work. I don't know. And it sends you a reminder. And so you go in and you start this vocal conversation. You can actually do writing as well. We've got various modes, but I like voice. And you can do this vocal conversation, and it tells you every single day. And so you say to yourself, right, well, I have to create some type of habit. I recommend the walk, for example. And you can maybe do it in the car. You can talk in the car. It's quite good. But mainly I like the walk because, of course, it's you getting your steps in, burning calories. Go for 10,000 steps while doing this in the morning. It'll wake you up, get sunlight in your eyes, get your circadian rhythm going, get your weight down, get 10,000 steps going, build up your imagination, build up your capacity for language. It's pretty good. I like this. It's a pretty good batch of behaviors to get yourself going in the start of the day. And you can do all these things and go and be consistent. You will be consistent, which will lead to the result, which is what is critical. The consistency matters overall, because as I said, you can know this stuff, and a lot of people know this stuff, but they don't do it consistently. The best tools tend to work because they keep consistency. Duolingo for language, for example, is brilliant because it's gamified and it gives you all these rewards and it makes you consistent. The downside of Duolingo is that it's very reading and writing orientated, so you don't really learn a language properly. I've tried it and you actually do get a really good vocabulary. I like this about Duolingo. You get this broad vocabulary and you tend to pick up quite a lot of the language because you're, you know, reading an awful lot of it and going through all the exercises. But you can't speak it and you can't hear the language. You can't listen to it. But you do get the benefits that Duolingo gives you because you're consistent. So you see, consistency does work. Now, the second reason why this app is so powerful and useful for learning these skills is because of the concept of the imagination. I've designed them in such a way that they're focused on getting your imagination to do the majority of work, because this is the part of you that learns most efficiently. It's restrictive in that the exercises are channeled towards very specific things, because you'll notice that too much information, too many possibilities, leads to you learning nothing. We all know loads of different things that we should try, but people don't consistently do one simple thing and get really good at it. Now, for example, if you wanted to get good at boxing, as I said, having this simple 10, 15, 20 minute habit, which is not much time at all during the day, for you to consistently work on your skills of visualization is going to really help. And if you stay consistent with that, that would be brilliant. All you're doing with this is you're not learning how to box. You're not going out with your pads on and making it this complicated thing where you're punching against stuff. That's not what you're doing. Instead, you're using your imagination, which is you carry it around in your head all day, every day, which is brilliant. You're deploying it towards a simple schema, towards a simple end, which is imagining yourself performing actions correctly. And that simple idea is actually what gets the results. And in the long term, if you imagine yourself doing 200 different boxing motions correctly every single day for 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to get good at boxing. If you pair that up with you actually going in and practicing these skills, so you get real feedback from sparring partners and stuff like this, you're going to get very good. There is no way you will not, because that's the most optimal way that you can learn. It's the same with your language. Why would my language app be any better than anything else? Well, the problems with Duolingo is that they have created all these sort of big bodies of knowledge that have all this vocabulary. So it's based on this idea of flash apps, where it flashes vocabulary to you, which is brilliant. And it does get you loads of vocabulary and get you good at reading and writing. But that's not how you interact with reality. That's not how you use languages. I know this myself. You don't go to a foreign country and immediately try buy the newspaper in order to coordinate with yourself. You speak to people. The thing that makes you good at languages is being able to generate the right vocabulary and the right sentences and pronounce them correctly and comprehend what people are saying to you in conversational scenarios. And in order for you to practice that, you need to use your imagination. You need to say to yourself, imagine what are 10 different scenarios I will use in Italy where I will need language. And you'll find out that it's not like Duolingo often does, where it's getting you to talk about random things that maybe, or learn lots of complicated vocabulary and grammar. Instead, it's you realizing that you need to go into a coffee shop and know how to order a coffee. You need to go and meet your relatives and know how to say, hey, it's been so long since I've seen you, or I've never seen you before. I'm your son from America, or your grandson from England, or something like this. You need to imagine yourself going into a museum or going into a train station and asking for tickets. And you need to generate an ability to do that conversation. You need to imagine that conversation, understand that conversation, imagine the scenario, and then role play out that scenario in voice. So it's imagination specified to the actual practice. This is some advanced learning jiu-jitsu here, because this is how you learn things properly. Be specific, be as specific to the task as you possibly can. Then be consistent, and then use your imagination to mentally visualize how you're doing that task. So this is what we do with the language app. We go in and we imagine ourselves going into a coffee shop, and we get the app to help us generate phrases, and then we practice role-playing with this. Now, believe me, which are you going to get better at actually performing the language in a consequential situation? If you go and you go into the coffee shop and you've practiced for a year or 6 months or something like this, having these conversations every single day and been listening to an AI flash out, like, you know, say all the phrases really quickly like a native Italian speaker, which is going to teach you properly? Which is the one that's going to actually absorb inside of your brain? Obviously, it's going to be the one that trains you this, compared to one that just flashes up vocabulary in a very disorganized and random way that doesn't really associate you with the scenario. The imagination pulls pulls together the scenario which allows you to be the most effective. And this is why the writing section is so powerful, because the writing section is literally about training you how to access your imagination. It forces you to stop using abstractions, stop using generalized statements, stop using explainer speak that is boring and dull, stop using euphemisms that are so common in politically correct culture where people use these big long strings of complicated words to sound smart, and instead bring yourself back to the language that is directed from your senses. There's this fascinating specificity about language where if you can't speak without a certain criteria of language, it almost forces your brain to go into this realm inside of its head. So if I say to you, only use language that uses colors, uses distances, uses sounds, uses sensations, uses tastes, if you can only use that language, you're going to almost have to force yourself to pay attention to your sense surroundings, which is obviously the right hemisphere's imaginative realm. So you say, oh, I see a red cushion that's far away, and I know when I touch it, I can feel the squeezy sensation on my hand. And if I throw it up in the air, it makes a puff sound as it hits the roof. The roof creaks. The wood is yellowish, whatever. That's probably not very healthy wood. My point with saying all this is that, as you notice, my use of sense-based language paints a picture inside of your imagination, and it also paints a picture inside of mine as I'm describing this. And this is what this writing exercise trains you. It trains you to switch your imagination on and use it correctly, which is going to make you, first of all, better at doing that over the course of your life. It's going to generate so many benefits in so many other different ways. It's going to connect your right hemisphere and your left hemisphere more intimately, because you're taking the categories of language and getting them to interact with the analysis of the senses, which comes in through your right hemisphere. It's going to make your imagination more powerful, make you better at visualizing, make you better at writing, better at speaking, better at painting pictures inside of people's heads, because it's a writing tool, and overall better at anything, because your imagination is probably the most powerful faculty in your brain. So this then leads us into the last feature here that this app can provide that is so useful and so powerful, which is it gives you feedback. In order for you to learn something to the highest quality, direct, high quality, specific feedback is what you need. If you can get direct feedback, basically when you do something and you get punished for doing it wrong, that's great, because then you have a reality to test yourself up against. In, say, if you're boxing and you keep on getting hit in the face, you're gonna kind of learn through trial and error to move your head when the thing comes. Now, if you can get feedback combined with specified advice, which is coaching, you're gonna learn even better. So the higher quality your feedback, the more you're going to learn. So say if you wanted to learn to box, if you could go and box and then you spar, which is going to give you real feedback, you took a video of your sparring, which means that you get to see yourself from the third person to give you even better feedback. And then on top of this, you had a coach who was going to point out to you the problems, the things that you're doing wrong. So they label and categorize your problems. That's amazing feedback. And what's the problem with this? First of all, it's expensive to get a coach. It's hard to get the coach's attention, and you can't do it every single day and be consistent. And sometimes there's consequence, like, you know, getting brain damage and stuff like this. It's the same issue with language. What's the best way to learn a language? Well, like, you know, move to the country and get a girlfriend or get a person and pay them, you know, 40K or something like this to just follow you around and talk to you all day, every day, and explain to you like you're a four-year-old how to use the language. And that's just world-class feedback if you can do this. If you can do this, you're going to get good at a language pretty snappy. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that that's expensive. That's actually a little bit of a problem with the teacher. No matter how good the teacher is, everybody struggles with patience when you're dealing with somebody who just can't pronounce, hey, how are you? Could you repeat, hey, how are you? Could you repeat, hey, how are you, but slower? That gets tough after a while. I've done language teaching. It's a hard job in weird ways. So the capacity to teach, to get feedback, is obviously important in language, but it has its limits as well. Now, the same, for example, with writing. Writing is phenomenal. The writing exercise where you can do writing exercise is great, but you have to hire a writing teacher. This is what I had to do. I had to pay writing teachers. I had to go and pay them $40 an hour or whatever it was. Now, what does the AI allow me to do? I know practices that I can use to help you get better at stuff. I'm not going to be able to, for example, with boxing, create something where you can do this entire complicated process of getting a coach and all this, although maybe we'll see how powerful these tools get. But for now, I have limited scope that I can take care of, but I can give you direct feedback within this scope. So for example, with the language learning, you can go in and you can actually work with essentially a tutor. So you get a tutor, you subscribe to this, and you get a tutor for an enormously discounted rate. And you get to speak with them every single day and work with them consistently. Like, you've hired them to follow you around. You can talk with them all the time, communicate with them, interact with them, get information off them, and get them to give you feedback. These have been designed and trained by me to give you instructions to talk to you about, all right, well, break down the grammar of this situation, or break down what this does, or break down what that does. So it can give you direct feedback. So you could be working through a set of phrases, and you can get this to act like a tutor with you. Hey, would you do a role play with me with this? Would you do this with this? Would you do this with this? I'll show you an example now. So here is the actual app, so you can watch how I interact with it. Here's me asking questions. Could you repeat the first one for me, so I can practice it and pronounce it, and also explain to me what it means in English? So I asked it, hey, would you give me 3 German phrases for asking where the nearby beach is, or something like this? I don't know. I perversely want to go to a nudist beach. Is this one in practice? And I've been found out.
Of course. Here is the first phrase for you to practice. Gibt es hier einen Strand in der Nähe? This phrase translates to, is there a beach nearby, in English. Practice pronouncing it by breaking it down into syllables.
So here you have it giving me this phrase. So it gave me a set of phrases. I say to it, hey, would you give me one specific phrase? It gives me this phrase. I can play this phrase over and over again, and then it explains to me what it means in English. So this allows me to say, all right, this is what this means, and then I can practice it.
Gibt es hier einen Strand in der Nähe?
Great job. You pronounced it perfectly.
Boom. So I'm getting direct feedback. I'm working with it. I'm starting off and saying, here's a scenario. I would like to go to the beach. Help me, give me some ideas about what I can say here. And it says, all right, say these 3 phrases. I'm like, show me how to do the first one. It's like, here we go. It's like, what does the first one mean? It means this in English. You're like, of course, that makes sense. So you start to learn the vocabulary. Then you practice. You practice pronouncing it. You listen to it, so that develops your ear. You practice pronouncing it. It develops your capacity to speak. Then you say it, and it says, good job, you pronounced it right. If you say it wrong, the app will sort of say, eh, you got something wrong there. Sometimes if you say it bad enough, it'll be like, it sounds like you're speaking completely incorrectly here, and it doesn't make any sense. So it gives you direct feedback that you can train on. This is gold for you getting better, because it's giving you this loop, this dopamine thing. You're trying to get better at the right thing, and you're getting feedback being told you're wrong exactly. How would you do this without this? You'd sit there maybe with audio tapes and you'd listen to them, and then you'd sort of repeat them. You don't even know if you're saying them right or not. You know, you don't even know if these are relevant. If you don't know what they mean, you have to go and run and get a dictionary. All this time that you're wasting. If you wanted to go out for a walk and do this, you'd have to have a dictionary with you. Like, it's a lot of work in order to get, or you'd have to sit there on your phone typing stuff in. Whereas now you have this essentially language tutor that can give you this direct feedback at any point in your life that you wish. So with this app, you can consistently get direct feedback in these specific skill sets to develop your capacity for learning languages, develop your capacity to rapidly learn things through mental visualization, and develop your articulation and writing skills through the training of your imagination. And you can do this at significantly lower costs than hiring a tutor every day, and you can integrate it effortlessly into your routine. It's not something that gets rid of your tutors. I don't recommend you get rid of any trainers or tutors or coaches that you have. It's actually something that enhances what you do with them. So if you're already paying for a language tutor, or paying for a boxing coach, or paying for a writing coach, this is going to enhance your capacity to use them. Why would this be? Well, think about it. It's about getting high quality practice. When you go with them and you train with your boxing coach and do the pads and learn stuff, that's high quality practice. You can only do that for 1 hour a week. Now, what happens if you go in there and he says, all right, well, when you know you're slipping the jab, you need to come back across with that cross, and you keep forgetting to do that. And you're like, all right, and then you go home and you get busy, and you have to watch some YouTube, and then you gotta go and like look at your meme coins or something like this. And it comes back a week later and you go back in and same problem. Seems like you didn't get any better. Now, if you have this, you can consistently work by yourself every single day between the next session. And you go back in and you visualize the exact same move. So every time you go back in, you've spent your time visualizing that move. And then you go in and he does the boxing, and then the thing comes, and then your brain, nervous system has been wired to prepare for this. And you're like, foot-bomb. And he's like, nice. Clean that up in 1 week. Now, that's how you learn. That's how professionals learn. They identify problems and they step-by-step eradicate them. They transfer them and learn them professionally, and then build upon this and build this stack of skills. And so like going from being an amateur boxer to being an advanced boxer would basically come down to this. For like a year or 2 years, you go in every single day and you work on all these patterns, and you learn how to deal with the jab, to slip the jab, do the cross. You learn how to handle hooks. You learn how to do various defense maneuvers to do all this. And your coach could teach you all this stuff. But the problem with most people is that they never actually learn it. So the coach can tell you this, but because you don't install it inside of your brain, you don't solve the patterns. You kind of just stay stuck at the same level. And this always happens with people. I see it all the time. And I've had these issues with myself. Like, I've gone to lots of boxing training, and I could be a much, much better professional martial artist, I'm sure, if I dedicated myself fully to it. But I had other stuff going on. I was ranting on YouTube, reading about fucking Nietzsche and shit like this. And it just goes to show you that it's that consistency and that dedication that makes all the difference. It's the same with something like a language. If you have a language tutor, that's good. You can go to them every single week and talk to them. Now, you can't take them around your life. But say you go to them once a week or twice a week or three times a week, and then you go and you train this way every single day, and you work on the problems you notice with them, and you develop vocabulary and develop patterns, and you work on things, and then you go into them, to your language tutor at the end, on the Friday, we'll say, after a week of training yourself, and you can say to them, is this phrase correct? Am I pronouncing this perfectly? They might say, for example, maybe, because the app's not going to be perfect, maybe they'll say, ah, you're saying that with a little bit of an American accent as opposed to proper German. This is how you'd say it, more German. So they'll actually be able to clean up some problems that we're still ironing out of the app. Maybe there's a little bit of vocabulary that's like general, but like people in normal day-to-day life will say like more slang stuff. This would be a problem, again, actually, in German, where you have like standardized high German, which is not really the same as what people speak day to day. Okay, of course it's the same, but it's not going to have the colloquial style and language. Maybe in German, for example, you say ich or instead of ich, and ich is, I think, the south, and ich is the north. So there'll be these little nuances that you can clean up with somebody. So the app will get you 90% of the way there, and then you have an actual tutor on top of this is going to really enhance this, is going to accelerate what you do, and you're going to come back into them and learn so much more stuff. They could even sit down with you, aware of what this app is, and you could explain to them, what scenario should I practice? And then you can go and practice them. And so you go work with the app, develop the vocabulary, and you go in and do role plays with them. And it actually becomes more fun for them because you're actually talking to a person instead of just being like, yeah, pronounce that again, please. Same with writing. It's, you know, exact same principle. You go into a writing teacher and they say to you, you got to work on these skills. And then you go home and maybe you do it once out of the 6 days that you could have trained. Now compare that to the person who goes home and does this training every single day. That's going to make your brain better. Or think of it even better. This writing training is sort of a simple principle-based training. It's not actual writing. You don't write a crazy story. You don't write a film or something like this. So this type of stuff is very powerful. It's like a squat. It's powerful, but it's simplistic and repetitive. And this is the type of stuff that a writing teacher finds boring. But if you go and you practice this every single day, and then you go into a writing teacher or a poet or a speech writer or a copywriter, you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, even if you're a business writer, a content creator, this is going to mean that when you go and do a more proper formed, structured writing behavior with a target towards persuading somebody or moving somebody's imagination artistically, it's going to mean that you're better at that. Because it's like training the squat and then going and doing something athletic. So your coach or your business partner or whatever it is will notice a significant enhancement in your capacity to evoke people's imaginations when you're doing the more targeted behavior, which is what they want. They don't want you to not have that skill and then have to spend your time once a week trying to learn that skill slowly, doing one exercise in this important, maybe couple of hours they have to work with you. Instead, you develop the capacity in some sense passively and consistently, and then you deploy it in a more specific situation. So as you can see, I'm very proud of my brain training app. I believe in it because I use it. I use it every single day, and I'm designing it essentially to make me better because I want to become better at all these skills. I welcome you to come along and learn these skills as well. These skills have all served me. It's allowed me to travel better. It's allowed me to get better at athletics and sports. It's allowed me to get better at writing. Maybe the reason why you listen to me is probably because I've done these writing skills somewhat inconsistently throughout my life, which goes to show what type of difference would it make for you if you did these. And this is also a very interesting look into the future of education and the way things are going to go in the future, where, you know, people who are smart enough to sit down and actually build these apps themselves. Now, I'm not smart enough. I had to get a dev to help me. But people who are capable of creating these tools are going to be able to massively increase the capacity for the human mind to learn. Now, I know a lot of people are pessimistic about artificial intelligence. I understand it. There's lots of reasons to be pessimistic. It is also in some sense intimidating, but there is always going to be somewhat of a positive side. And I don't see any downside at all for a tool like this, which dramatically reduces the costs and the efficiency and the man hours involved with training people, which serves to actually enhance the private skills of individuals, where a boxing coach and a language teacher and a writing teacher, these are all going to actually be more valuable because they're going to be higher grade, higher quality skills, and AI is going to automate all the basic behaviors that you do at the bottom. And that's currently working right now with somebody like me who's just put this together with a dev who's competent at coding. Now think about that. That's the way the world is going, is that type of ingenuity and way of thinking. I go to my parents' house now and I travel off and I go to visit them. And when I go in into the garden, there's a lawnmower that's an automated robot lawnmower. No longer is it dad on his thing with his big gurgling massive beast of a yoke, him spending 2-3 hours on a Saturday or something like this mowing the lawn. Now it's a machine doing this. There's an efficiency that frees him up to do other type of labor. And regardless of what you think, that's a real thing. And that is actually saving him tangible time, enough to make it enough for him to spend a couple of hundred euro on the machine. So these tools, these automation tools, these intelligent machines, this is coming, and it's here. It's not really coming, it's here. And it works. And I'm testing it myself, and it does enhance what you're trying to do. And, you know, it doesn't have to be as anti-human future as people mean it. These are actually just tools that we can adapt to do whatever we want to do. And I don't really see how it could be much better than invoking and utilizing artificially intelligent tools in order to enhance our capacity to communicate with each other, enhance our capacity to plug our imagination, enhance our capacity to learn athletic and behavioral skills. This seems like a pretty big win for me, you know? So I'm very, very proud of this. I'm very, very happy. And as I said, I use it myself, which is, I guess, the best endorsement I could possibly give. So if you would like to use this tool to develop your language skills for traveling and integrating into all these cultures in our globalized world, if you would like to develop your imagination to improve the capacity for you to write, to copyright, to do business writing, content creation, personal artistic projects, developing your poetic instinct, or if you would like to use it to learn athletic behaviors faster, learn musical instruments faster, learn dancing faster, swimming faster, whatever it is, to get better with your body, I invite you to subscribe and try this out for yourself. Now, what do you get when you subscribe? Well, at the moment, this entire thing is built off the back of Telegram, because Telegram is the easiest app for us to get voice messages and make this a very smooth and easy experience. The messengers are also brilliant because people are naturally plugged into them. So we can create a system where you can get a message as a reminder in the morning to get yourself to do this. So there's a lot of brilliant usage here by installing this app essentially into these messengers. Now, Telegram is the one we're working with mainly. So it's built there and it all operates out of there. But we also plan to create a WhatsApp one and maybe a Slack one, and then eventually its own app as things go forward. Now, what you will get is essentially full access to all these features once you subscribe. Now, there'll be tiers to the subscription because we can actually do more advanced things depending on the level of tiers. Of course, everything costs money with AI. We have to go and pull out of Mistral, and we have to go and get the LLMs to sort everything out, and, you know, various tools that we're using, and then we have to send it off to get the voice stuff done and all this. So it all costs cash. So in the most basic tier, you get all these modes that can train all these skills, but there's a character limit. So you have limits on the amount of times you can interact with it. Now, it's going to be enough for you to do 15, 20 minutes a day. So it's enough for you to get training in the most basic sense if you want to try it out on the ground floor. And then the second problem with the basic tier is that the accent in it is going to be very much dominated by the basic voice tools that we're using. So if you're going to learn Italian, there might be slight Americanized pronunciation of certain things, and I'd love to clean that up, but unfortunately for us to clean this up, we have to go through something like 11 Labs or a more advanced audio tool like that, and of course that costs an awful lot more. Now, if you'd like that, because that obviously will help you get really good at pronunciation to get the perfect German sounding accent, that's going to be a higher tier. Now, maybe you'll consider it worth it. Maybe you'll say, no, I'm just fine learning off the normal accent. I find learning off the normal accent actually is okay. You know, I can handle pretty well. Maybe when I'm more advanced, I'll consider moving up. But it's really up to you. The option is there if you so wish. And of course, on the higher tiers, we raise the limits an awful lot more so you can talk to the tool an awful lot more. And alongside of this, we'll create a group where you can come in and talk about your experience with the tool, how you might utilize this tool. And of course, I will give tips on how to get the most out of it. And of course, you can complain, because I'm sure there's going to be problems. So there's always a lovely feeling to that as well, telling me what to do. Now, if all of that is well and you like the sound of this, I recommend you go down below. There will be a link and you can subscribe, get set up, and we can begin getting your brain swelling so much that it starts to come out your eyes.